There are so many reasons to give thanks to the Lord. I wonder, do we need to be reminded of all of them and reasons to praise God? A lot of different reasons are given in Scripture to praise God. In fact, I talked last Wednesday night and mentioned that 434 times in the Bible we find the word praise. The word praise and praises and praising God is actually the single most thing that we find in the Bible. If you look at things that we're commanded to do in the Bible, there's more commandments about praising God and giving thanks to God than any other subject. 434 times praise is mentioned. Of those, about 250 of them are commandments to praise God. So if you wonder what's on the mind of God and the heart of God about our response to Him and our attitude and our spirit, realize that praise is so very important. Sometimes we, because of life circumstances, sometimes our personality, sometimes because of the difficult things and challenges to our faith, we find it maybe a little bit reluctant to give thanks to the Lord and praise Him. But praise and thanksgiving is a matter of an attitude. Somebody mentioned before, Dor, you kind of hit a little bit on the idea that I wanted to talk about for a couple of minutes tonight, and that is, how do we deal with life circumstances? How do we deal with the pressures that come? God can help us and purify us and change us so that we have an attitude and a spirit and a heart that always has a heart of praise to Him. God cares deeply about the attitude and praises of our hearts. Tonight I want to focus on one verse from the book of 1 Peter, and I want to mention tonight four reasons to praise God from this verse. There are, like I said, hundreds of reasons to praise God, but tonight from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, I want to highlight for a few minutes four reasons to praise God. And I would call these reasons relationship reasons. Four aspects of our relationship with God from which we are called because of who God is, because of God's relationship with us. He calls us to praise Him. I call these four relational reasons, four ways that God sees you, four ways as a Christian that God sees your life and your attitude and your spirit, and each of them calls us in a way to praise Him. If you have that little paper that I laid out on each of the entrances, on the other side is five lines with five words that are missing. You might call it a little bit of an outline, but I want to highlight tonight four reasons why we're to praise God. Why should we praise God? Do we need more reasons than we have already? Do we need to be reminded of the need for a spirit and an attitude of thanksgiving continuously in our lives? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the scripture at the top says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." I want to suggest this morning that Peter reminds us, first of all, the first reason that we're to praise Him is that we are chosen people. We have been chosen by God. You have been chosen by God for certain things. And one of the things that God has chosen you is that your life would be a reflection of His glory and His goodness. You are chosen by God. God has singled you out by His creative design. Every one of us that are here tonight are made individually by God. God doesn't create us by the stamp and by the form, and we're all the same genetically. The miracle of genetics and God's plan is that we're all different and unique. God knows us individually, and He chooses us to know Him. That's what we believe about the power, the predestination of God. We believe as Nazarenes that we are predestined. We're predestined to have the salvation of God. He's chosen us. You have been chosen tonight for some things. God has chosen you to know Him. God has singled you out. God loves you individually. And that alone is one reason that Peter says we're to praise Him, because God's chosen us. Every single one of us are special to God and unique. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God's, not by works, so that no man can boast." And then he says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship. You know, you are the workmanship of God. That Greek word there is, you are the poem of God. Poema, the Greek word for poem that we have in the English language, comes from this word in the Greek. You are the workmanship of God. God's created you. God has made you. God has chosen you. The fact that God has created us individually reminds us that God individually has a relationship and cares deeply about us. God has chosen you. That's the first reason that Peter gives us to praise Him, because we know that we've been chosen by God. You are special to God. No matter what's happened in your life, God cares about you in your life. Peter also tells us in this verse not only that we are chosen by God, but he also used another term to describe who we are before God, and that is that we are a royal priesthood. Those two words, royal priesthood, sounds like a very high and mighty description, and it really is. That's a description that God calls us, that Peter uses to describe how God sees us. He sees us as his royal priesthood. You think of those two words, royal, meaning from a very high and lifted up and worthy, the king, the court, the highest of the land, the one that people bow down and honor to. Peter used that word, royal. We're royalty to God. We are special to God. God singles us out. We are a royal priesthood. A very special and elevated responsibility. You know, the Bible calls you and I priests as Christians. We are priests before God. When we think about the role of a priest, you think of the Old Testament or you think of the New Testament, you think of what the role of the priest is. The priest is that person that comes before God and comes right into the presence of God and intercedes for the people around them. Kind of the go-between God and the people. Well, God says that we are chosen to be His royal priest. We have a role and a responsibility in our world. It's not that God just saves us and says, well, live till you die and then you'll go to heaven. God gives us great responsibility, and being the royal priesthood is a part of that. We believe as Nazarenes and as Protestants in the priesthood of all believers. That's in our doctrinal statement somewhere. The priesthood of all believers, that God has a role for us. We are special. We are unique. And Peter uses that term. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. I don't know if you think of yourself often as royal priesthood, but that's what God says about you. That kind of seems like a pretty high and mighty term to think, I'm a royal priest, but that's exactly what God says about His family, His children. We belong to Him. He says that we are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. The third scripture says you are a holy nation. A holy nation. That means that God says, you people are set apart. You're distinct. You're different from everybody else. The body of Christ is different to God. The body of Christ is set apart by God. It's special to God. All these descriptions describe how God sees us. God sees us as a holy nation, not in a nation as we think of Israel and Jordan and Egypt and the United States, but as His family, as His people. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, we read these words, you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be His honored or treasured possession. I want you to know tonight that God has chosen you as His honored and treasured possession. That's how God sees us. I know it's hard for us to think like that and imagine that that's how an infinite, loving, creative, powerful, eternal God can look at finite people, but that's what He says. That's how God sees us. When we come to that place and we become a part of His family, that's how God sees us. He sees us as His chosen people, His royal priesthood, His holy nation. And then the fourth thing that Peter says here is that you belong to God. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. All of us want to belong. All of us have that inner desire to belong to someone, to belong to something, to belong to a family, to belong to a community, to be a part of something more than we are, because we know that in relationships we're more when we're together than we are by ourselves. Humans are relational people, relational creatures. And in the same way spiritually, we are made and designed and built to need God, to want God, to have a longing within us to know who God is, to know the questions of eternity, to know that we're here for a purpose, to know that we're here for a reason. 1 Peter chapter 2 reminds us of that, that we belong to God. God sees us as His family. He sees us as His children. You belong to God. You are connected to a great and a mighty God. Imagine tonight what it's like for this amazing, creative, all-powerful, infinite God that we can't see. We can see what He's done. We can see His creation. We can see how He has revealed Himself through all of creation and through Adam and Eve and through Noah and Abraham and the covenant and the law and the prophets and the kings, all the way up to the sending of His Son. We can see what God has done. And all of that is about relationship, because He loves us and cares deeply about us. You are connected to God. You belong to God. I remember as a kid, and you probably remember back to gym class, maybe when you were in junior high, I don't know, or somewhere along the way, and you know, you would pick teams. You know, and there are times when I grew up that I was pretty bad at doing anything. I wasn't much of an athlete. I did a little better when I got older, but not much. But you know, I can remember in gym class when the coach had picked two people to pick the team. You know, you never wanted to be last. They were just humiliating to be the last one picked. Now, that happened to me a few times, I imagine. But you know, you want to be picked. You want to be chosen. You want to be wanted. You want to know that somebody else cares about being with you. And this verse tells us how much God cares about us, that He does want us. And He loves us, and He cares about us. This amazing God, we belong to God. You are family to God. Another description about God is that He's our loving Heavenly Father. He's more loving than we can even imagine an earthly father. Some of us have had good, loving earthly fathers. Some of us maybe have had fathers that have not been as good at times. But we know that God is the kind of Father that absolutely loves us so much in such a beautiful way. For John, 1 John chapter 3 says, "Behold the love of the Father that He has bestowed on us, that we shall be called the children of God." Imagine the love of God, that you are called the child of God. You belong to God. He loves you. God bent down into humanity to receive you as a daughter or a son in Him. This great and infinite God somehow reached down from heaven through Jesus and said, "I want you. I want you to be my child. I want you to be my family." He loves you. He accepts you. He cares about you. God's grace changes that relationship. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And then Peter says at the end of that verse, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Everything I've said about those four things that are found in this verse of why we should praise God, four reasons why we should praise God, we come to the place, well, why? The reason is so that we'll declare His praises, that our hearts would understand how much God loves us and how God sees us. And our life would be a declaration of the praises of God and the wonder of God, the amazing Spirit of God, that you may declare the praises of God. I hope tonight that you will sense the chosenness of God for you. I hope tonight that you'll understand that God calls you into a royal priesthood, and your life matters, and who you are matters. And how you relate to people matter. And what you choose to do with your time and your talents and your treasure matter to God. You're a royal priest. God has a place and a plan. And you're important to Him. You're set apart, a holy nation, and you belong to God. I hope tonight that you understand the blessing of how much God loves you and cares about you. And because you know that in your heart, what comes out of your heart and your spirit is thanksgiving and praise. Someone that doesn't feel love doesn't do very well being thankful. Someone that doesn't understand and sense the grace and the mercy of God and the love of God and the gifts of God are slower and more reluctant to praise God. But I want to say to you tonight that God blesses you so much and He calls you to give back to Him, to come out of your heart and your mind praises to Him, to respond with that. God blesses us with His love and we respond with our praise. Praise is a response to the love of God. Praise is a response to the relationship that God offers to us. Praise is one way that we respond to the way that God cares deeply about us. And we all have a privilege and opportunity to do that. I'm going to invite you tonight as we close our service to turn to this hymn, For a Thousand Tongues to Sing. We're not up to 1,000 people here tonight, but there's a few of us. And every one of us have a privilege and an opportunity to sing and to praise God. It's hymn number 147. I want to invite you to stand with me tonight, and we're going to sing this song in closing, For a Thousand Tongues to Sing. I'd like for us to sing the first, the second, and the last verse, the seventh verses, verses 1, 2, and 7. Would you stand with me as we sing praises to God tonight?
And tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name.
Dear Heavenly Father, tonight we thank You for many, many reasons of Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. Lord God, that You do love us so much, that You have given Your Son to us and You've given life to us, and You've given us reason after reason after reason to remember and to praise God. I pray that we would understand that You have chosen us, and in choosing us, God, You show how important we are to You. I pray, God, that we would show how important You are to us, that our faith would be strong and our praise and our thanksgiving would come from our hearts. I pray, God, that we would also understand how important our influence is on each other. Even when we live and we worship together, God, that we would reflect a love for You that would be contagious for other people. I pray, God, that You would help there to be joy in our hearts. So many times we allow joy to be tied to our circumstances, God, but somehow we understand that You want joy to be a part of knowing who You are, and I pray that our hearts would rejoice in You. I pray, God, that we would know that we belong to You and that You love us, that we would find great strength and hope and help, Lord God, in life circumstances because of who You are. We praise You tonight for who You are. We give thanks to You. I thank You tonight for each person that's here. I pray that You would bless them and encourage them and give them a great time this week and tomorrow. Some may be traveling. I pray for safety for them on the road. I pray for those that are driving right now. I pray for Luke and Jessica and Debbie and Jack as they drive tonight. And for others, Lord, that will be traveling, we pray for safety. We pray that You'd give them a joyous time together with loved ones and wherever they're at, God, that You would bless them. And Lord, bless those that will be here and will be at home, and some that others may be coming to their house. Again, God, we pray that we'd have thankful hearts and thankful spirits. Thank You for all the things that were expressed tonight, all the reasons that people have expressed to praise You. And God, for things that we haven't said, may it come from our hearts. May we have great joy. May we love You. May we be the people that certainly speak the praises that is worthy of your name, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. I wish you all a very blessed and happy Thanksgiving and a precious time wherever you're at, wherever you're going, wherever you're staying. God bless. Good night.